Welcome to The Turned Up Life with Renee Lynn, where I help you attract your dreams and goals and live the life you've purposefully designed.
This episode is about designing the life that you want and choosing you first. And that's where my guest today, Shelly Lynn Hughes, comes in. And I am super excited to share with you a little more about her, her story, her journey. She is from British Columbia, so beautiful there, Vancouver, British Columbia. And she is the CEO and founder of Pursuit 365. She is a serial entrepreneur, very much like myself, a little younger than me, 30 years as an entrepreneur working for herself. She is a mom of two daughters, two girls, 8 and 17 years old. And so we have a lot of things in common. As we have gotten to know each other, we were introduced by a friend of mine in the health business, Stephanie Purdy. And we just clicked. Stephanie and I have known each other for a long time. And she said, Renee, you really need to meet Shelly. You guys are going to have a lot in common. And so I really wanted to have her share a little bit about herself today, about her kind of like the way all her pivotal moments and aha moments that have gotten her here today. And she just published an amazing book that went number one all over the place. I saw all the different posts that were now number one here, number one there. And so exciting how she has led her company through the pandemic, through very difficult times, and very similar to myself along the way. We've, you know, had moments in our personal relationships and being moms and all of that, but, you know, just knowing and trusting that there is a higher power that has a vision for us and trusting the process along the way. So welcome, Shelly. Thank you so much for being here and taking the time today. I so appreciate that. Tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of maybe, you know, where did Shelly start?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you so much for having me here today. It's an honor to be speaking with you. And anytime I get asked to do something like this, I think, oh, wow, me. So thank you for that. Where did I start? So, like you had mentioned, I've been an entrepreneur for 30 years now, or, you know, give or take a couple of years here or there. And I just, when I did work for corporate or I did work for big companies, I always knew that I wanted, you know, instead of wearing the badge, you know, my name tag on my shirt, I wanted my name tag on the, you know, outside of a building. So I just always knew that I needed to be on my own and doing my own thing. Some of my ventures were fantastic. Some of them were complete bombs and didn't work. So, that's been 30 years of hit and miss with a lot of things. So here I am today with Pursuit 365. And I feel like that, you know, all of my wins and losses have brought me where I am. And it feels like they were all learning, you know, they were all taught me to teach me to be on the venture that I'm on right now.
So I know that as a young girl, like I always had this vision of working for myself. How did you decide to become an entrepreneur? Like, what was your process of becoming your own boss?
So I worked with my ex-husband. It's funny, he always comes in these conversations. I worked with him on ventures that he wanted to do. And I was always the person kind of behind the scenes and, you know, just assisting, right? Like always behind the scenes. And then one day I thought to myself, well, why am I always the person behind the scenes? Like I'm bright. I've got ideas that are important. I'm as important as you are. And maybe my ideas are not perfect, but I thought, well, maybe I can kind of do this on my own as well. And so I knew that at that point that as much as, you know, I respected what was going on in his world, I just felt that I had something interesting to bring to the world as well. And so that was how it all started. And, you know, it wasn't that I didn't find that his ideas were important. I just knew that I had something to share. And that's when I first started, you know, years and years ago, you know, Vancouver's first women's magazine. There was none in Vancouver. I was a fitness competitor traveling in the United States and Canada. And every time I'd go away, I would find these, you know, publications. I'd be like, well, why is there nothing like this in Vancouver? So as much as I was an entrepreneur, I was not running the company by myself. I had partners, you know, 30 years ago. So when it came to starting Vancouver's first women's magazine, that was when I went out on my own, just because I knew there wasn't anything like that. And then it started in Vancouver, but then and in Canada, you know, we're about the same size as California. So I was like, well, I think I grew outside of Vancouver. And then we went to 3,000, the magazine was then brought to 3,000 spas and salons across Canada, which is quite big for here. So that's how it all started.
For sure. So you were a fitness competitor. Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit about that. Like, I published a magazine in my late 20s to early 30s. It was a tough business. Like, I don't know, what year was it that you published your...
Well, that would have been like at least 15 years ago. So yeah, back then, you know, it was definitely a different business, you know. 15 years ago, you know, advertisers were left, right, and center. There was no social media. So, or, you know, 15, yeah, there was no social media. So that was all the advertisements. There was television, radio, magazines. Really?
Yep. I was, let's see, I think I published our magazine from 1988 to probably 94. And those were the days. Yeah, we did dialing for dollars. Like, I always crack up with, you know, people that talk about how hard they work. Like, we worked hard. Like, we got the phone book out, and at least you had the internet. We had phone books. Like, we, you know.
Oh my gosh. It's magazines are a tough business, and you've got to be so, as you know, you've got to be passionate about it. Otherwise you're not bringing in tons of money. You know, it's not one of those business. Well, what do they say? It's magazines, restaurants. And I think it's fitness centers, actually. I don't know 100%, but I know it's magazines and restaurants are two of the toughest businesses to be in for sure.
It's a labor of love. It's a labor for the community. Like, you saw, an area that you realized it wasn't covered in your community, and then you took it bigger, and I love that you have that vision. Tell me a little bit about kind of being an entrepreneur and a mom. Like, you know, how did that work itself in? I know my boys were kind of like, sorry, you gotta roll with me, because this is where we're going.
Yeah, you know, I know that my eldest daughter, who's 17 now, she says, I'm never going to be an entrepreneur. I'm never going to be an entrepreneur. So for her, she did not like the ups and downs of the lifestyle, is essentially it. And until you make it, you're hit and miss, right? Like, it's not an easy road. And now I'm a lone parent. So it's not even that I'm a single parent now, I'm a lone parent. I've had my daughters full time for almost 6 years now. From when they were, you know, they're 8 and 17 now, but I've had them full time. My ex-husband does not live close to here. They don't go on the weekends. They don't go for a week. They don't go for summers. So, you know, there's a lot of stats out there about being a single parent, a single mom or a single parent, and the success rates of a business. And they're actually quite low to be an entrepreneur or a single mom. They don't even do stats on lone parents anymore, because a lone parent, it's full time. You know, you're a full time entrepreneur, you're a full time parent. There's no breaks. It is not easy at all. But on the other side of it, I have a lot of freedom too, that I get to make choices on how I parent. You know, I will talk to my ex-husband, this is what's going on. But, and then my own business, I don't have to ask permission. I'd like to do a lot of collaborations with people, but I likely will never have a partnership again. I've done partnerships. That does not work for me. So yeah, I'd say lone parenting is difficult as it is. Lone parenting as an entrepreneur is difficult, but there's a lot of power in it as well. You figure it out. When you love what you do, you figure it out.
Absolutely. And I think that as an entrepreneur, we have a tremendous amount of freedom in the way that we can build our schedules. Like, you don't have to drop the kids off at school, run to work, you know, pay someone after school or what have you. You have the ability to build in that time block. Like when we first talked about, you know, what time is good for you for the podcast, you were like, well, I got to drop the girls at school and then I'll be back home and I have an opening between now and, you know, this time. And we made that work. And that's what I love also about being an entrepreneur is that I was able to drop my kids at school. I was able to go at 3 o'clock and grab them. Now, sometimes we went back to the office and they, you know, sat beside me, or maybe we went home and I got back on my computer and started working again, or I had to make calls, but it offers you the freedom to choose, I think is that's it. And let's just be honest, there's no guarantees whether you are an entrepreneur or you have a job. There's no guarantees.
There's no guarantees in any of it. Like, as someone I know just yesterday had an amazing job and she just got let go. And she's like, oh my gosh, Shelly, what am I going to do now? And I'm like, well, I guess you got to go back and start applying for some positions. Nothing's guaranteed. The only thing that's guaranteed is how hard or how smart we work. And even then, mistakes come along the way. So there's nothing guaranteed. Nothing is guaranteed in life.
Absolutely. And just, I know, you know, you've had bumps along the way, whether it was, you know, as you transition from one business model to another, as you start up a business, there's always going to be bumps along the way. And then you had everything on track. You were super excited for what was happening in your business. And then 2020 happened. Tell me a little bit about like how that transition happened. And I know, you know, you had to say, okay, well, we've got to now shift. So tell me about some of those shifts.
So when I did the shift as going, and it was destined to be this way anyways, because of social media and because of magazines and because of, you know, what was going on in the magazine platform, essentially, it had to happen, but it just happened a little sooner than what. So I was really excited about where the magazine was going. So I was making some changes. We were doing some videos. We were doing more interviews. We were changing our business model as a magazine. And then around that same time, I was asked to speak at the United Nations representing Canadian women entrepreneurs for International Women's Day. So just before COVID happened, I had that opportunity that I was excited about. And there was women coming from all over the world. And, you know, I was rebuilding my magazine at that time and doing other things. And then as the whole world stops, COVID happens. And there I am at home with my, you know, my two children. You know, there was no more money coming in from advertisers and I didn't have my distribution channel anymore. All of a sudden, all the spas and salons are closing like everyone else. I'm not saying I'm the only one, obviously, but there's no more advertisers. There's no distribution. If there's no money coming in, there's no distribution. What do you do? Like you got to figure it out. And again, as an entrepreneur, as a business person, as a mother or father, as a parent, we have to figure out a way to put food on our tables. So I sat back and I thought, okay, really, likely what I need in this time during COVID, likely what I need is likely what others need. Likely what I need as a parent is likely what other parents need. So I thought, well, what do I need? What do I need? Okay, well, I need to build a community because here I am at home with my children and I can't see anyone. And it's depressing, right? Like you can't go anywhere. I can only sit in my backyard by myself and have a glass of wine so many times during a how many year period of COVID. So I need to build a community. I need to raise some funds to feed my children because again, lone parent, it's not, you know, it is what it is. And I would like to celebrate International Women's Day in a beautiful way, like I would have at the United Nations. So I thought, okay, well, if I support other women during this time, I'm going to support other women for International Women's Day, and I'm going to support women in their business life and their personal life. So I'm going to create a community. And so that's where Pursuit 365, I thought, well, I don't give up. I don't want other women to give up. I want their stories to be heard and I want their businesses to be featured. So that's where I thought of Pursuit. And I went to 365 of my friends and my clients. And I said, hey, I'm going to interview a different company slash business woman on my website, a fresh magazine, for 365 days this year. And that's how I'm going to support your business. And you're going to pay for this service because I still need to feed my children. But on the other side of it, I'm going to build a community and you're going to be part of my community. And I'm going to get you to put your story, 365 words or less, in my book. And I'm going to support you personally by the book. I'm going to support you business-wise on my website. And then the big picture, I'm supporting myself. I'm supporting the community. I'm building a community. And like 12 weeks later, we had a full book. It was like, oh my gosh, this is what people need right now. And so for, I brought people to our website every day. They helped bring people to the website. I supported their company because no one could really do advertising anywhere. Even on the radio, you still can't go anywhere and buy something. I mean, radio hosts weren't even going into their, you know, they were doing their work from home. So that's how it all started. We ended up having, you know, a Canadian Amazon bestseller. We got into 100 libraries. And women were extremely happy with both the personal support and their business support. And that's how it all started, basically.
Well, that's what really drew me to you when we had our first conversation. And it probably was about 2 years ago when Stephanie said, you know, you've got to meet this gal, Shelley. You guys have so much in common. You're so alike. And, you know, so when we started dialoguing and you told me about your mission, like your vision was so clear to me. And it only, you know, I think sometimes we live in our small communities and our small worlds and in our houses, and we think we don't make a difference. And you have made a difference not only throughout your entire country, but throughout America. And now you are, I talked to you the other day, and when you get going telling me stuff, it like makes me excited. Like, I'm like, yes, global, you know, here we go around the world. And so tell us a little bit of, like, I love just how you just don't have a stop zone. Like a lot of people go, well, I could do this much, but anything past that, well, you know, I can't do that. Someone else can do that, but I can't do that. Like, what's inside of you that makes you believe? Like, what's the story there? Did you have some mentors in your life? Like, what's your story that gives you that big vision where you just know? And you have that confidence of your belief in how to change things for not only yourself, but for other women.
Like, I don't know if it was what my parents put in me. I don't know if it's just who I am. I don't know if I'm born with it, but I truly believe that nobody's better than you or I. And I truly believe that, you know, I was raised in a Christian family, but I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person now, but I'm not a religious person. But I truly believe that doesn't matter where we are in the world, that we all need help and we can all give help. And that, again, nobody is better than you and I. And that if we just take a little bit of time out of our days, that we can make an impact in the world. And I'm not better than any of the next person. I just might make those steps to say, you know what? I can make an impact in Spain. I can make an impact. I'm going to Paris in a few weeks to open up a chapter there. I can make an impact in the world, because just because someone's, you know, halfway across the world does not mean that we don't have something in common, because we all have something in common. If we actually break it down, we're humans. And it doesn't even matter, male, female, non-binary, whatever. Like, none of that even matters to me anymore. I used to be a woman's company, but now I'm more a human company. And I don't know what it is. I just think that if we go down to the grassroots and who we are and humans, we can all make an impact. Whether it's in our own, like, our own homes, our own communities, our own countries, or on the planet, that if we all just do something, we can make change. And I think people don't understand how the impact they can have by the small things that they do. So my little idea was really just about bringing people together, but it was also to feed my children. You know what I mean? Like, I'm, as a businesswoman, I know, and this goes back to, again, goes back to supporting people in their personal lives and supporting people in their business lives. That's what I want to do, is I help people rise up. Because you can have all the money in the world, but if your family life is not good, all that money means nothing. And on the other side of it, you might have the most beautiful, loving family, but if you can't pay your bills and you can't feed your children, the impact on the family is so, it tears families apart. So it's like, I don't need to be rich, but I also want to feed my children and put them through university if they choose to go to university. Maybe they don't. So that's the thing, is finding that balance. So I don't really know. I just know that money doesn't make me happy, but I also know no money doesn't make me happy. And so I don't know. I think it's all these little steps, right? And realizing that it's the little things that we can all make an impact, but also it's not even about money. I don't know. It's hard to
explain. I totally agree with you, because there have been two times in my life when I lost all my money. One of them was in, 2009 to 2012, I had to liquidate everything I'd done for 25 years. And it really gave me a very clear picture of what was it that I really wanted to do. And then that probably came to you as you went through 2020 also. But, when you have kids sitting in front of you and you're not sure how you're putting gas in your car and food on your table, it's really interesting to be there in that position and look at everyone else and go, they don't have that problem. But in reality, we just don't know what's happening in someone's life that they're not wanting to share with other people. In that moment when you were going like, how am I going to put food on my table? Like, I know it's a fearful moment because I've been there. And the first time I went through it, I put my head in the sand and ended up with massive problems, way bigger than I could have, I could have like calmed that way down, but I didn't, because I was a kid. I was like 28. But as I went through it in my late 40s, I decided everything that was coming at me, number one, I didn't have control over, just like the pandemic, you didn't have control over that. Number two, I was going to face it with grace and honesty. And, every person that might have been upset with the situation, I was going to recognize that they have a lot of fear, even though it might be coming at me as anger or, unkindness. It was really up to me to treat them with kindness, because I knew they had a bigger fear than I had. And I know you know what I'm talking about. Tell me how you got through that.
Well, I, like you mentioned, it's the grace that you've got to go through it and not go crazy and lose your mind. You just have to sit back and like you said, the grace, the first time you put your head in the sand. But isn't one of the biggest, most empowering things for us is to accept where we're at, accept and take responsibility as well. A lot of things that have happened to me and happened to you just happened. It's not our fault. But again, some of the things, the choices that I made in my life, they're my fault. And I take full responsibility for that. So I think when we sit down and we accept, this is where we're at. This is where I'm at. These are the choices I've made. This is the stuff that's happened to me just by chance. But accepting my position and saying, this is my position, but it's not for the rest of my life. And this is my position, and I have the power to make these changes. I can ask my friends for help. I can ask my family. There's so much that can be done. I see so many people liking their story. Like, they kind of like their story of woe is me, but they don't do anything to change it, right? That's where I have an issue. It's like, I have the ability. It's not perfect. I'm not going around in a private jet, which, do I really want to do that? Well, it might be kind of fun, but it's my story. I have the power to do that. And I can't put blame on everyone else. I mean, there's things that I could say, oh, my ex-husband did this, or ex-boyfriends, or ex-business partners. But the reality is, it's my choice to have been there. So that I find is super empowering, is when we, and gives us a lot of strength to do it with grace and say, yeah, here I am. Not 100% my fault, but here I am, and I'm going to make change. Me.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I'm a firm believer that everything that has come our way, every challenge that has come our way, is there for a reason. It was there. It's a lesson. And if we take those lessons, no matter how hard they are, no matter how painful personally, business-wise, whatever it is, if we take that and learn from it, it is my responsibility to, as I come across people in similar situations, to help them along the way, give them a little bit of hand up that I didn't have. And I feel like your mission with your company, with what you've done with your own life, whether it's personal, business, whatever it is, I feel like you have that similar process.
Yeah, 100%. And that's one of the reasons why, one of the reasons why I started Pursuit 365, is that when we accept our story and we share our story, we not only help heal ourselves, but we also help others heal, and they learn from us. So it's almost like a therapy, whether it's our business stories or our personal stories. That's why I do it, is because it really is acceptance and sharing. And that's basically.
Absolutely. So what would your advice be to someone who they really want to do something, whether it is start a business, whether it is maybe go out and adopt a child on their own, or maybe it is just be single and on your own and not be in relationship after relationship. What is your advice to them to let them know that they can do it? Like, what are the words you would give someone?
I think if you don't try and you don't open that door, you will never know what the possibilities are. So I would say I am more afraid not to try something than I am to try something. I am more afraid of what I'm going to miss out on. So I would say to them, unless you open that door and investigate and see where it's going to go, and you could just start with a toe. Just make the phone call to the adoption place and find out, hey, I'm a single person, but I want to adopt. Maybe I'll just build a business plan and see if it feels right. And again, owning a business yourself is not for everyone. Again, my seven, eight, almost 18-year-old, she's like, Mom, I'm never going to be an entrepreneur. It's not for everyone, and that's okay. But unless you open up that door, how, you will never know what you can do. So for that would be my suggestion. You don't have to hop in. It's like dating, right? You don't, dating someone or being alone, whatever. You don't have to marry the person right away. You don't have to open up your own company. You don't have to do the adoption. But unless you go on a few dates and check it out, how are you going to know that person? How are you going to know if you want to own a business? Sometimes even adoption, just making that phone call. So I think that's what it is for me. I am more afraid of not investigating and knowing I'm going to miss out on something that could have changed my life and been amazing.
I totally agree, because I have the same philosophy. I'm like, I think there are three major opportunities that come to each of us in our lifetimes. And 99% of people walk away and say, no, I'm good. And I'm just not willing to sit on the couch and watch Netflix. I want to do something. Every morning I get up and I think, who can I help today? Like, who can I inspire today? whose life can I impact today? And with the platforms that we have, like this podcast, with Zoom, like I'm on a Zoom meetings, massive Zoom meetings every week, and I might see anywhere from 200 to 1,000 people. But when I tell my story of health, healing, entrepreneurship, inspiration, being that single mom, you know, going through the hardships, losing my money, getting my money back, I'm impacting somebody. And I get messages from people, I'm sure that you do too, that say, thank you for that. I needed to hear that today.
Yeah. That, and isn't that just a beautiful thing when you realize that you helped someone get out of bed another day? Because let's say that some days are hard.
Yeah.
So the fact that you get to do that and I get to do that, that's worth more than anything. And that's why we do what we do, right? Like that's why we do what we do.
Yes.
Help others rise up, and whether that's their business life or their personal life. And they are integrated. People think that they're not, but they are integrated.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for being here today. To wrap up this show and just, you know, your top three things on designing a life that you want to live. Do you have three things that you can throw out there on
having
that belief?
Three things. Always try to find a little bit of fun every single day of your life. Every single day, find something that is fun and makes you happy. So whether that is, you know, making yourself a beautiful latte in the morning as opposed to just pouring yourself a coffee, whatever it is. Maybe I like to go down to the beach every morning, and whether it's cold out or sunny, I like to see the water, the ocean, and that makes my heart happy. So every single day, find something fun and it makes you happy. I also look at life almost like playing a golf game. And every hole is not going to be a great hole. No one to pick up that golf ball and move to the next hole. This is not working. So no, you know what? This isn't working. I need to find something else to do. So look at golf like a golf game. You're not going to win everyone. You're not going to have a hole in one. Sometimes you're going to have one. And I think the third thing for me also, and I learned this from a gentleman named Tommy Chong, I don't know if you remember from Cheech and Chong, but he said something very impactful when I was doing a podcast with him, and it was, lose the anger. Like, let's lose the anger for our fellow human beings and for what's going on in life. And if you can lose that anger and say, it's not about me, it's not about that, it's a miscommunication. So if we lose our anger towards our fellow human beings and find a way to connect and understand. And those are the three things that I would say. Find happiness, life's like a golf game, and lose the anger.
That's so amazing. Yes, because, I'm a big golfer.
Don't you know when to pick up and move on?
Yeah, you have to sometimes. Like, you know, when I was first golfing, I was 40, I was pregnant, and I was terrible. And I played with a bunch of ladies that were great. And sometimes on that par five going uphill, I picked up the ball and went to where they were and just kept moving on.
You've got to do that. You just got to pick up and go to the next one. And there's always going to be people better than you at that golf game, but there's always going to be people that are not quite where you're at, right? Life is.
And you can always improve. Golf is a game that if you just practice, you improve. So that's life too. If we just practice, we improve. So exactly. I love that. Well, Shelley, tell our audience a couple of things on, number one, where you're heading, like just speak for a minute about that global vision that you have. And then, if you're listening to this podcast, you can look in the show notes and figure out where you fit into Pursuit 365, because I'm definitely a member.
Well, for where we're going right now is like, our first book was, and our community was only in Canadian women. Then we were Canadian men, women, non-binary. Then we expanded to entrepreneurs from around the world. And this current book that just came out, we've got members from 6 countries. We've got our next one coming out, which is called Brains and Beauty. And I think we've got women from 9 countries involved with that one. I'm going to Paris in a few weeks because we're opening up a chapter in Paris. We've got an event that we're working on with another community, again, a collaboration in in Las Vegas. And then we've got our two books/awards coming up, which we're just starting to market. And it's The Power of Humanity in Business and The Power of Humanity in Youth. So the youth book is we're getting stories from youth from around the world. And we're featuring them on what they're doing on making an impact, whether it's in their homes or in their communities or in, you know, the world, the planet, on other, you know, maybe third world countries. And then The Power of Humanity in Business is we're taking 365 businesses in the United States. So this is only a US book, which I love the color of the book. It's the color of the United States flag, the American flag. And it's mostly blue, the color of the flag, but red and white. And our other books are all color coded to what we're doing. So the youth book is a rainbow book. It's, you know, rainbows. And it's The Power of Humanity in Business, and it's going to be awards. And so you can't buy a spot. You can become part of our community, but you can't buy a spot in the book. And then this way we're featuring, it's basically seven businesses in each state and just sharing on what they're doing to make an impact, a positive impact in the world. So that's the United States one. Yeah. And yeah, that's where we're going. It just keeps, I don't know.
I love how it's just expanding and expanding, because when I first talked to you, we were just talking about, you know, the next book, and now there's like 8 books on your plate or however many. And so I love that vision. And I like that you collaborate, because I think it's really important when you're working in different communities that it is the community vision. So you're bringing that all together. So if somebody wants to like have you come to another country, like what do they do?
So right now we've gotten a few messages or emails or phone calls or people, yeah, just saying, you know what, I'd like to bring this there, like the Paris one, and India is another one. Australia is another one. I'm working with a girl named Lauren in Australia. I reached out. I was like, I want to open up a chapter in Australia. What can I do? And then Lauren and I, you know, we do our business meetings like you at funny times, being that many hours apart. And so now what I'm actually looking for is ambassadors in each state of the United States. So some representation in each state. And then we're going to be doing events in each state. So we just had one here in Vancouver, Canada. And then I want to do one, you know, we're probably going to start with 8 states and then work up from there for 2025. So yeah, I am looking to work with different people and let them find out, you know, what we're doing and how they can work with us and how we can work with them. So just an email. I'm easy. I'm open.
That's awesome. So if you're listening to this, you're inspired by Shelley and her mission. You want to be an ambassador, a collaborator with Shelley, reach out. And again, just go to the show notes and you'll find that there. So thank you, Shelley, for being here and taking the time today and painting the vision for others that they can rise up. And we're all here as a community to support them. And it doesn't matter how old you are. There's no race involved. There's no qualifications involved. All you have to do is be human. And we're here to support you. So thank you so much for being here, and have a wonderful, wonderful month. I know we're going into Women's Wellness Day is, I believe, April 26th, somewhere right around there. So happy Women's Wellness Day. We'll definitely be doing a show about that.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care. Have a good one.
Likewise.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of The Turned Up Life. Please stay tuned for future episodes and do subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow me on Instagram at Coach Renee Lynn. I'd love to hear from you, and if you have questions or need some advice about lifestyle or business mentorship, please do send them my way and I will respond in future episodes. The Turn Up Life is produced by the good people at The Podcast Boutique. I'm your host, Renee Lynn. Stay well and live a purposeful, turned up life.